ever had that experience of being the odd man out, if I can use that old phrase? Everybody seems to be in agreement about something, and you're looking at this thing, and what you really want to say is, excuse me, but I think the emperor's got no clothes. So what do you do? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me as today we take a look at conflict from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. We're continuing our chat again today about what it means to live an extraordinary life. I think deep down we all want to do that, but you know what it's like. 99% of life is a humdrum. We just have to keep going and keep going and doing the things we have to do to make the whole thing tick over. And we get home, and by the end of the day, we're way too exhausted to think about living an extraordinary life. Well, that's a great formula for wasting your life. Would you agree? One life to live on this earth, you and I. It'll either count for something or it won't. It'll either impact people in a positive way or it won't. It's confronting, isn't it? I mean, because the idea of wasting our lives is the most appalling thought. But many people do. And the way you do it is a day at a time. A great friend of mine, my former business partner and mentor for many years, Graham, had a great saying. He said, mediocrity begets mediocrity. In other words, as long as we go with the flow and stick with the masses in the grey middle ground and don't ruffle too many feathers, we'll be okay. Mediocre people love being surrounded by other mediocre people. No one stands out. No one makes a difference. Everyone's comfortable. And so this whole groupthink thing happens. We perpetuate the status quo. We all live quietly, unassumingly, uncontroversially, wasting our lives. That's how it goes. That's what happens. Yuck. Do you see what happens when we take a look at life from a different perspective? Yeah, it's challenging. Yeah, it can make us feel uncomfortable. But hey, sometimes we have to think about these things. Sometimes we have to make some changes because some of us are missing out on the extraordinary lives that God always planned for us. Okay, so where are we going with this today? What do we have to learn about this groupthink mediocrity thing from Jesus today? Well, here it is. Have a listen and let's chat about it. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth has passed away, not one letter, not one stroke will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of God. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of God. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God." Now, maybe at first that passage doesn't quite gel with what we've been talking about so far, which is wasting your life by participating in this groupthink herd mentality of pervasive, compelling, comfortable mediocrity. But in fact, that's exactly what this passage is all about. Here's why. The Jewish people had become complacent over the centuries until God sent John the Baptist and now Jesus. He hadn't sent them a prophet for 300-400 years. It's rather a long time. So here's what they'd settled into. Well, you know, we're God's chosen people after all, and we have the law of Moses, the Torah. This was their law. And we have our religious leaders, and so long as we dot the I's and cross the T's and play the game and tick the boxes, hey, we're okay. We'll just muddle along and God can take care of himself. That's what was going on here. And when Jesus came along and started calling a spade, well, the religious leaders who were powerful, who were wealthy, who had positions of honour and everybody kowtowed to them and bowed down, well, come on, they'd made it. And Jesus all of a sudden comes along to threaten their power and their influence and their wealth and their comfort. So what was the easiest thing for them to do? Rely on religion, of course. Tell people that this radical Jesus, who, by the way, had none of the religious credentials and breeding that they had, was speaking and teaching and preaching things contrary to the law of Moses, which was to the Jews sacrosanct. That's how you'd undermine him, right? And that's why the first thing he does in this passage is to set people right about this ridiculous allegation. Don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. But now he goes straight on to challenge their comfort zone. The idea that they were pretty much okay, because pretty much they were kind of obeying God's law, mostly okay. I'm not perfect, but who is? So I'll be all right. Not according to Jesus. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of God. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of God. Stop doing this comfort zone thing. Stop doing this grey mediocrity thing. Mediocrity is not okay. Either you're falling short of the law and you're in serious trouble, or you're fulfilling the law and keeping the law with all of its 613 commandments and prohibitions, in which case you're fine. So people, which one is it exactly? And then the absolute clincher. He strikes at the head of the serpent of mediocrity in their midst, the hoi polloi religious leaders of the day. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. See, striking at mediocrity was at the very center of what Jesus was about. He confronted it, he addressed it, he challenged the people, and you know what? It's this one thing that he did that got him crucified. That's how much the world hates someone who challenges the steady, predictable, powerful base of mediocrity. And whenever you or I stick our heads up from the crowd and stand out, whenever we reject mediocrity, be it religious, be it professional, be it personal, someone's going to come after us too with a meat cleaver, because people are threatened by anyone who descends from the creed of mediocrity. But let me ask you this. Do you think that mediocrity is going to get us an extraordinary life? Do you think that mediocre and extraordinary are comfortable bedfellows? And that's the point, isn't it? It's either one or the other. You can't have both. So your life, mediocre or extraordinary? Going with the flow or swimming against it? Sticking with the anonymity of the herd or sticking your head up and being different? They're questions that matter. The greatest lesson I ever learned was to stop judging myself by the response of other people. Now, I don't mean that we should be belligerent and arrogant and disregard good counsel. But if we spend our life being people pleasers, we're going to be mediocre, because that's what the crowd wants us to be. Because if we do the extraordinary, it rubs their noses in their own mediocrity. That's why they want us to continue to be part of the herd. That's why mediocrity is always the enemy of the extraordinary. So, if you're comfortable with the mediocre, if you're afraid of going against the flow, if you're concerned at what other people think when you use your God-given gifts and abilities to do the extraordinary, well, that's fine, I guess. But know this, you're well on the way to living a wasted life. Before we go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you, because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential, your name won't be displayed, and in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in prayer. God's word says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please allow us to pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.